sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the second hour here on this Thursday, August 14th, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. President Donald Trump dropped a series of major announcements on America's future. From the 2028 Olympics coming to L.A., to crime reform, border control, the economy, absolutely announcing a major bombshell at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. One of the things that he talks about is how this is going to be a absolutely amazing transformation of the United States of America. So it is coming. This is amazing how this is going to be a process that is going to change basically the entire direction of the country, and it's going to happen very quickly. Now, one of the things that you have to understand, one of the bills that will go down in history is this one big beautiful bill, because of what it does to the taxes that have now been put in place permanently, the tax cuts, especially for the middle class working American families. One of the things that is part of this dynamic is how this is going to affect the pocketbooks of everyday Americans. When you factor in all the other benefits that are in the bill, it's going to be basically a landslide opportunity for the Republicans next year. Because now, according to this story I'm looking at from Washington, D.C., this is from the Examiner, they're saying that these impacts will start happening spring of next year. When the tax returns are filed and the amount of money that's going to be coming back to everyday Americans, with all of the tax savings, write-offs, deductions, child credits, and the basic tax rate itself, the checks are going to be huge. And that's going to spur investment, savings, and spending. In the process, that will trigger an economic boom like we haven't seen in a long time. Donald Trump, folks, is even talking about, due to the Doge savings that was part of the One Big Beautiful Bill, he's talking about a potential $5,000 rebate check to every taxpayer in the United States. If they are in fact able to pull that off next year, it's going to be a very bad day, election day, November of 2026 for the Democrats. Short break, word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet? Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300. Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second segment on this Thursday. Joining us on the line right now is Jonathan Deke from the Institute for Family Justice. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Randy.
Hey, Jonathan, one of the things I talked about on yesterday's show was Attorney General Dana Nessel and how her office through this one particular case has generated a jury award to be paid by us taxpayers of the state of Michigan, $58.8 million to a former police officer, Detroit police officer, who was going through a divorce. And in the child custody battle that was going on over at the time, a four-year-old little girl, the mother got the little girl to allege that the dad and his father, the grandfather, had sexually molested the little girl as well as had her pose for naked pictures. And this case just went completely off the rails. The former police officer moved to Florida. He was so upset over the entire thing. Charges were never brought by Oakland County Sheriff's Department because they investigated and found it had no validity. Getting statements from the little girl at the time that were kind of shaky, sketchy at best. But then the father actually passed three different polygraphs that, in fact, he didn't do it. His dad didn't do it. It didn't happen. So no charges were brought at the county level, but because he was supposedly, according to the story, somewhat of a conservative Republican, Dana Nessel's office took up the case, even though the county wouldn't prosecute. She assigned it to an assistant attorney general, and he ended up resigning because of an affair with someone related to this guy's ex-wife. And evidence was tampered with by a Michigan State trooper. I mean, all kinds of things happened. Well, the jury came out 3 weeks of a trial, day and a half deliberation, and awarded this guy $58.8 million for damages, punitive and others. And, you know, well, the thing of it is, again, it all stems from the divorce in the child custody battle and what the mother was, you know, able to get this little four-year-old girl to allegedly confess, you know, or tell the investigators about, which ended up later she recanted as she got older. She, you know, she said flat out, dad didn't do it. Grandpa didn't do it. This was not true. So your experiences, you guys collectively, all of you, your entire board, this isn't uncommon for what you deal with all the time.
Actually, no. This is so common that there's basically a playbook. And these type of allegations, they call them silver bullets. These silver bullets are these allegations of abuse, the worst ones being the sexual abuse, that unfortunately some parents use inside a family court to gain an upper hand. And as soon as you shoot one of these silver bullets, it's almost a kill shot for the other parent because you don't have to prove anything. You just raise the allegation, and the next thing you know, that parent's either being prosecuted, definitely been excommunicated from their child's life, and it's a very easy way to gain control in these custody situations. It is a very, very common play. This was done in a very famous case. Another jury award just went out to a family for wrongful death would have been the Jonathan Mass case, the John Mass case. And, you know, this guy was accused of molesting his daughter and all of these things. He fought hard, finally got back into his daughter's life, got the court order to go see his kid again. And then the mother's father showed up at the visitation exchange in the mother's vehicle. The mother did not show up. The child did not show up. The mother's father got out of the vehicle and then shot and killed John Mast. And that jury verdict just came out for the civil damages suit last week, and they vindicated John.
Who ended up being the beneficiary of that that award? Was that the child, or who ended up getting that?
So I don't know the answer to that. I'm assuming it would be his estate, and his, I believe his brother was managing the estate, and so I don't know all the particulars, but I know that there's a foundation now being built for this, and maybe it's going to go and fund that, but I do not know all of the particulars.
Wow. Amazing. And obviously the father who shot and killed him, was he prosecuted for murder?
He was. He was found guilty of manslaughter. They didn't get the charge they were looking for, which was murder, too. He was able to get out of that. But I find it hard to believe that this guy would show up in her car, she wouldn't show up, and this not have been completely premeditated. Completely premeditated. And I believe that the mother was involved because she didn't show up. If she didn't know her dad was going to go and kill this man, she would not have shown. She would have shown up with her kid as court ordered. But she didn't show up. He showed up.
In her vehicle.
Right.
Wow. Amazing.
And I don't understand why the police aren't prosecuting her.
Yeah. Well, do you know what state that took place in?
Oh, not off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I bring that up for a reason is because every state is completely different. Even every county is different. And we've talked about this before, but for new listeners that have never heard you on the show before, explain the process at the county level. How does it work here in the state of Michigan?
For family court, you know, you just basically have two parents that want to share a child, and they're unable to reach an agreement between them, or one of them is on welfare, and then they end up having to put court orders in place to determine the physical and legal custody of the child. Physical custody is where the child resides and when, and legal custody is who gets to make determinations about the child's future or current medical care. And so you go into the, generally, you go into the friend of the court, which is an administrative court where you have a referee. The people bring in their evidence and make their claims, and the referee will put out an opinion. That opinion, if not objected to or stipulated to, will be, or if it's stipulated to, becomes an order right away. If it's not objected to, then in 21 days, that'll go before the circuit court judge, who will then sign off on it. However, if the parents do not agree with what the opinion was, you can appeal that decision from the friend of the court to the circuit court and have what's called a de novo review, where you go through and you basically have the entire trial all over again.
But then that's done in front of the circuit court judge at that point.
Yes, the de novo review is the appellate review of the friend of the court is done inside of the circuit court.
Now, one thing that is very interesting, because I get text messages, you know, every time after you're on the show, people want your number, want to be able to contact you. One of the questions they ask me is, Jonathan, an attorney, and I keep telling people, no, he's not an attorney. He's finishing up his education, plans to go to law school to become an attorney. But you are actively working with other attorneys already licensed in various states, correct?
I communicate with several different attorneys, yes.
Okay. So you, if they are in a situation where they actually need a referral, you can recommend certain people that they can give a phone call to.
Absolutely. To the places and the attorneys I know that do good work, that really advocate zealously, I do put out those referrals, and I'm building a Rolodex. So if there's any listening that believe that they're a good person and that they litigate effectively for the rights of children and their parents, then I'd like a call so I could add them to my list, because people call me all the time looking for referrals. I was looking for one in Grayling just the other day.
Okay, very good. Well, I know we've got a couple of folks I've referred to you up in the UP. He had a friend, I think, downstate, and he wanted to pass it along, because that's basically, you know, not everybody listening may be going through this, but maybe they know family members, or they know friends, or, you know, brothers of a brother's uncle, somebody that, you know, is going through this type of struggle. So that's why we basically ask folks to text me family, and then I send out your contact information. Your website, Institute for Family Justice, is the number 4, FJ.org, and you can
com.
Get or .com, excuse me, and you can get information right there on the website, complete with their mailing, phone number, email, all of it. One other thing I did want to ask you about, Jonathan, in these type of cases where there is a dispute over whether or not custody visitation, how detailed does this end up getting in the process? I mean, getting down to holidays, alternating back and forth, summer vacations, all of that. From your experience, what has most of these people ended up having to negotiate when they go through the friend of the court?
Most counties have instituted a standard parenting time policy. And so unless parents can actually come to an agreement between themselves, the courts already have a policy put in place that talks about odd years and even years, who gets what holidays and when, and takes one parent and gives them primary custody and makes the other one a weekend parent at best. And so the courts don't even, in Michigan generally, don't even have a standard 50-50 policy. What they do is they put one parent that gets to see the kids on the weekends and then alternating holidays, and the other one gets primary physical custody, which is extremely unfortunate, extremely unfortunate. Other states have put together some really great parenting plans for when the children are very young. They start out with a 2-2-3 schedule, 2 days with one parent, 2 days with the other, 3 days with the other parent, because when children are younger, they need more frequent contact with their parents, right? And then that will step up to a 4-4-3-3 as they get a little bit older. 4 days with one parent, 4 days with the other, 3 days with one parent, 3 days with the other, alternating. And then once the kids get to be even a little bit more older, then you start going to the week on, week off, the 7-7 schedule, which is the best for children, because then children get to experience both parents. And for a child truly to understand themselves, they have to understand their parents, because they're half of each of their parents.
Right. And they seem to implement the longer visitations then as the children get older.
As they get older, yes. Because when they're younger, because of the way that their minds work and their development, they really need more frequent contact with each parent, right? Which is why it's best to start out with a 2-2-3 schedule.
Got it. Very interesting. Well, one of the things that we have, you know, talked about, and I have, you know, decided to do, is to have these interviews, these conversations with you, you putting together your institute, the website, the ability that you and your board are working toward, ultimately raising money for your foundation that you're putting together, that would be able to provide legal representation for folks, especially if they need to appeal these decisions to a higher court. Ultimately, you'd like to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's correct. That's our main focus, is because I see some fundamental pitfalls in the way that the laws are created and the way those courts are operating and claiming that this is a civil issue. You don't get the heightened scrutiny of a criminal matter, but they're accusing the parent of the crime of being a bad parent and then taking away something even more valuable than their time, their children. And so I'm looking to specifically file appellate review for cases to take to the Supreme Court to raise the standard to beyond a reasonable doubt, to restore the right to being able to have representation, you know, to really help solidify the fact that, you know, children have a right to their parent, even if they're not perfect, because we don't have perfect parents, right? We only have imperfect parents. And based upon the current standard, the least perfect parent becomes a visitor in their child's life, which incentivizes having a whole lot of controversy, and the children have to suffer.
Well, again, folks, I have it programmed in my phone. If you would like to get the contact information, the phone number 231-330-6825, the website fj.com, Institute for Family Justice. Just text me family and I'll send you the contact information. Jonathan, thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome, Randy. Have a great day.
You too, sir. Bottom of the hour news break of hour number two. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.